Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
Over 300,000 renters are currently protected from eviction or rent increases under emergency COVID-19 housing legislation introduced on the 27th of March. Now, these tenancy protections are due to end in 6 days' time on the 20th of July. Landlords want the eviction moratorium lifted. Tenants groups want it to remain, fearing a rise in homelessness. I'm joined by Margaret McCormack of the Irish Property Owners Association and John Mark McCafferty, the CEO of Threshold. You're both welcome to Drive Time. Margaret, you're calling on the new Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien, not to extend the emergency legislation beyond next Monday's deadline. You want to allow the private rental market to function in a normal manner, even though we're not living in normal times. Why not leave the tenants with these extra protections from evictions and rent increases while we are still battling a pandemic?
Because, simply speaking, it's totally unfair to landlords and to the sector in general. We have situations now where we have breaches, we have antisocial behaviour, parties, we have fights, there's assaults, overcrowded accommodation. We have landlords that came in from abroad that came in to help in the medical emergency who cannot serve notice to get their properties back. We have landlords that were in sale agreed, ready to go, and the tenants are allowed to remain on in those properties. So we need to have a sector that's fair to both landlords and tenants. I mean, the vast majority of landlords and tenants have a very good relationship and have a very good situation. We have a minority that will cause problems and have difficulties. But we need to be in a situation where that can be dealt with. I mean, neighbours, it is really distressing for neighbours and other tenants and landlords where there's antisocial behaviour and there's no protection whatsoever for them.
I want to bring in John Mark McCafferty because the situation Margaret outlines there seems to be a situation where she's saying landlords have absolutely no control now around their properties at all and some, a minority, are running amok.
Good evening, Mary. I very much have a huge sympathy with that small number of landlords that are facing challenges. But, I mean, I think it's important to kind of look at some of the figures. I mean, we are seeing an increase in arrears in the early part of this year compared to last year, up to a doubling of arrears cases. Our focus isn't on those tenants that are misbehaving, although we need to be mindful in any kind of extension of a moratorium how to deal with those cases. Our concerns are very much in relation to the vast majority of private renters who are currently very, very worried about their situation, many of which have seen an reduction in their income. If you look at those who are renting and those who have been most affected by COVID-19 and the measures, you'll find that they are in hospitality, they're in retail, they're in the sectors, administration, they're in all of the various sectors that have seen job losses, reduction in hours, wholesale reduction in income.
And you say that you're seeing an increase in rent arrears. Well then, Margaret, have you been able to quantify the number of landlords that you represent who now are out of pocket to a considerable extent?
No, it's very difficult to quantify and we haven't done any survey on that.
Wouldn't that be significant, though, to do that?
It is very difficult to quantify, and even to quantify where somebody's in arrears, just across the board.
Could you not ask your members if they are having a difficulty? I mean, you could do a box-ticking exercise.
We are aware of members having problems. We're also aware that there's a lot of people around the country with issues. We're also aware of an awful lot of members that don't have problems as well. So we have both sides. But what we're looking for is a situation. It is the state's obligation to house people who haven't got sufficient income, to assist them in the payment of their rent if they haven't got a sufficient income to pay the rent. It is not an individual's obligation to do that.
As we said at the start,
we need either rent supplement to cover anybody that is in that situation, or some other method for people
to do that. John Mark, does that kick in at the moment? If somebody is on the COVID payment but encountering difficulties, can they now apply for the HAP scheme?
Well, the scheme that existed and has been available for a good number of years is the rent supplement scheme, and that is it's really for a short-term intervention, and that has been available. In fact, it's been made more accessible, but it hasn't been promoted sufficiently. And I think while we have kind of these buffers like the very welcome pandemic unemployment payment and the very welcome rent supplement, things like the rent supplement needs to be promoted more widely, because we're really conscious of the numbers of people who are unemployed now compared to 4 or 5 months ago, and yet a relatively low take-up in rent supplement, as well as a whole range of other measures.
So you want the moratorium extended. How far?
Well, I guess we can split it in some respects. You know, I think rent increases right now and for the foreseeable future are wholly inappropriate. We are moving into a recession, but landlords, we have seen evidence of landlords looking for rent increases, and I think a ban on upward rents should be instated. In terms of evictions, that needs to be extended further, but it needs to be nuanced. And you know, I think that needs to be monitored, you know, on a kind of more regular basis.
Okay, there is some common ground between you, Margaret. Would you accept at least that right now rent increases are wholly inappropriate, as John Mark says?
What I would say there is rent pressure zones were introduced over 3 years ago. And whatever the level on the day that you had set your rent, that's the level it stayed at, with allowing for the 4% increases. So landlords that kept the rent low for their tenants, or valued their tenants, or had other situations and reasons for rent to be low, got stuck with that and frozen at that. And when they brought that in, they said it's an emergency measure, it'll only be in for 3 years, and they extended it again for another 2 years. And for some people, they've left people with very low figures in rent that isn't sustainable to continue in the business. So rather than be fair, nothing is ever brought in here that's fair and level. It's brought in, it's unfair, but because it's the landlords that kept the rent low that were unfairly penalised.
I'm not sure how many landlords you're talking about that have kept rents low. I mean, even within the rent pressure zones, there are rent increases allowed from the base they're already at.
Absolutely, and those rent increases are no more than 4% per annum.
But we know that rents are already very expensive.
We do, but we know that we know because we did survey this last November that 71% of our members indicated that they were letting below market rent, and there was some, you know, within that there were some very substantial amounts that were below market rent. So it's not a question. Existing tenants that were in properties, landlords habitually kind of valued those tenants and kept the rent lower for them. And as a result of that, and they would normally have looked at when the tenants left, they would have moved it to market rent. But as a result of that, they were restricted.
Yeah. But we introduced a cap. We introduced a cap because some rents are already eye-wateringly expensive.
That's very true.
Even where you call them low, they're very, very expensive for people basic wages.
The problem for us is not so much. I mean, the rents vary. So there can be very low rents and there can be very high rents. But they brought in something that said, wherever your level today, that's the level you're stuck at.
But Margaret, is the argument today around the cost of rents and wanting to increase rents, or is the argument today around this moratorium?
The argument today is around the moratorium. It was brought in as an emergency measure. Landlords were restricted. Yeah. Tenants weren't restricted. Tenants could move, but landlords were not allowed to serve notice of termination. Tenants did move. We had a huge movement.
Because
around the country.
You surely would accept this. You couldn't make people homeless in a time of lockdown.
I didn't say we wanted to make people homeless. I said tenants left places and wanted to leave places. But we have situations where maybe three people were sharing and two of them left. Third person's there and their rent, it should be the full rent.
Of course, you must remember that landlords who have mortgages have also been able to avail of a break on those mortgage payments, haven't they?
Landlords that have mortgages have been allowed to apply for a mortgage holiday, which will mean that while they're giving forbearance to their tenants, their costs will have increased because the interest still accrues during that mortgage holiday.
So from
that perspective, it actually costs the landlord more to have given that mortgage holiday and to give them the forbearance.
In the pressure points that you're talking about, landlords, their backs are not to the wall trying to meet monthly payments. Similarly, the renters are not worried that they are going to lose their homes at a time of lockdown or COVID crisis. You know, we're living in very strange times.
We are living in strange times, but two-thirds of accommodation is provided by landlords with less than three properties. So we're not dealing with, in general, huge companies here. We're dealing with individuals. And we have a lot of people in situations where they themselves have got to pay back their banks and the other costs. And renting property has to be sustainable. And then we're back to the people that came back into the country, owned properties, went away, came back to help, and they can't get their properties back.
Just tell me, if the moratorium was lifted on the 20th of July, Margaret, what do you see happening? Are there a lot of evictions pending?
Well, the first thing about anything is that if the moratorium is lifted, then a notice of termination is served. Notice of terminations can be anything from 28 days for antisocial behaviour to 224 days.
I know, but do you know of landlords at the moment anxiously waiting to be able to evict tenants?
Because
of what?
For different reasons. We have people with pre-COVID rent arrears, so the rent arrears are going back over a year.
Okay.
Maybe 2 years.
Have you quantified that? Do you know how many?
Again, it's difficult to quantify. So it's something that.
Why is it so difficult?
I just don't understand why it's so difficult to quantify. Well, because you have to do surveys and takes resources and time, and we have been absolutely flooded and inundated with assisting our members in dealing with the everyday management.
So you've been able to quantify that, the members that come to you with their difficulties. So you say pre-COVID rent arrears. You said antisocial behaviour. How big a problem is that?
We have quite a bit of antisocial behaviour. We've had everything from knifings to fights in the gardens to drugs.
And Gardaí presumably would be involved in those.
They are, but you can serve a notice of termination.
Mm. What other behaviour did you talk about?
We have, around that, we've antisocial behaviour.
It's essentially rent arrears and antisocial behaviour. Have you a lot of rent arrears during the COVID crisis?
I don't think we have specifically as a result of the COVID crisis. But we're not seeing that in general. Most people have been able to help. Now, I've probably about a number of people that have phoned where rent supplement was mm-hmm. paid to tenants and tenants didn't pass it on, that sort of thing. But in general, we're dealing with, we should be just able to go back to the normal.
You want
market.
To go back to where you were pre-March of this year. Mark McCafferty, is there any indication from government whether this moratorium will be extended or not?
Well, I'd like to start by saying that none of us are going back to normal anytime soon. We are in a very unusual situation, so we need to devise policies that reflect that reality and that cushion and secure all sorts of different types of groups in society. We are hopeful, having had a dialogue with the new housing minister yesterday, that he will take our case favourably. You know, the reality is that if you look at, say, even families in homeless accommodation, back in February there was over 1,600 families in homeless accommodation and accessing those services. Many of them came from the private rented sector. They were priced out or, they had been evicted. By May of this year, that was down to just over 1,200. So from 1,600 to 1,200, it was almost a reduction.
But would you accept it's deeply unfair to the private landlords that they are left significantly out of pocket, or that their accommodation is being ruined and being, and you know, like bomb sites from antisocial behaviour and parties, and that they should have some rights to be able to deal with it?
Yeah, well, my response to your first question covered that in the sense that there's a huge sympathy where that kind of behaviour does exist. And, you know, so we need to respond accordingly. However, for the vast majority of tenants, they're trying to pay the rent. They're adhering to their lease agreement. And the concern we have today as we look to this moratorium on evictions and rent arrears is about the future of the private rent sector. People been able to afford the rent henceforth, facing redundancy, facing cuts in their income. Margaret mentioned there where, so say in a shared accommodation, maybe two out of four people have left. The remaining two still have to pay the entire rent for that four-bed property. So all of these things need a coherent, evidence-based framework. We have the figures, and you know we've mentioned our figures of those in arrears. Things like, we need to consider things like repayment plans. We need a framework which looks similar in some respects to the mortgage arrears approach that we had 10 years ago, because this is not going to go away anytime soon.
Okay, well, there we must leave it for today.
It requires intervention.
John Mark McCafferty, CEO of Threshold, and Margaret McCormack of the Irish Property Owners Association. Thank you both.